I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hey, everybody. So glad to have you back on the Eden Assignment with me. My name is Karen Eden. I'm a martial arts master, a six-degree black belt, about 28 years of training and teaching now. I'm also an ordained clinical pastor, and I do a lot of spiritual counseling. So it's an interesting combination. Actually, martial arts and spiritual reasoning are very similar in many ways. So they kind of go hand in hand together. But I hope that something I say is going to make a difference before I leave this world. That's what I say. And every week I have an assignment that I do. I have about 25 years experience as a broadcast journalist. And I've always had assignments in my life, it seems like, since I was a grown person. And, you know, the assignments usually are those that were given to me by news directors or program directors or operation managers. You know, hey, we need for you to go cover this. And I just decided, well, why am I doing somebody else's assignment when maybe the heavens would like for me to do my own assignment? And so that's what I'm out to do. And this week, my assignment is about something I experienced in martial arts. And it basically encompasses around an ideology that sometimes in life you're just going to have to hit harder. Now, in martial arts, as instructors, we always teach our students, listen, you got to learn to walk away. People don't realize that. They think if you're trained for bodily harm that you actually are going to expend it whenever you need to get your way. But true martial arts philosophy is quite the opposite. It teaches you to turn the other cheek. It teaches you that the only time you should really use your ability is in dire self-defense situations. As a result, that cuts out, you know, bullying, any reason you can think of. If someone is actually verbally attacking you and you're a trained martial artist, you're not supposed to go after them unless they posture like they're going to try to hurt you. And then, of course, that's self-defense. Bear with me. I tell you what, I don't know if you've had this flu thing. I had influenza A back in January, and it's taken forever to get over this stinking flu. I mean, I feel okay, but as you're going to notice from the last several shows, I still cough like that quite a bit, and it's rather annoying. If it annoys you, just think of how bad it annoys me. But we'll get through this. So anyway, you know, when I was coming up the ranks, I trained in a traditional Korean, what we call a dojang. The dojang, for those who don't know, is a training hall. It's a Korean term for training hall, like dojo is the Japanese term for training hall. And this was in Pittsburgh. And the main headquarters, they had two different types of training areas. They had a nice carpeted area, you know, and then they had like the really hard area with the bag from like 1969, the really hard bag that swung. And so many times we had to go back into what we called the little dojang on the hard floors, and we had to hit that hard bag when we were training. And, you know, being a girly girl with the knuckles that I had, that was very challenging for me as a yellow belt, an orange belt, and so forth. Your knuckles aren't really conditioned, and honestly, I don't want my knuckles to be too conditioned because, well, that makes for some really ugly knuckles. And I'm still a girl. And I actually was in TV, like I said, for a long, long time. I didn't want to have those looks. I actually signed a local contract, a local TV contract for a Fox affiliate in Pittsburgh, and they made me sign this rider saying if I ever became disfigured from martial arts, they had the right to fire me. You know, immediately terminate me if my face was disfigured or something. I had to sign that. Wow, thanks for caring. But, of course, martial arts is actually very safe. It's very rare that you would have something like that happen. not saying it doesn't happen as I sit here with a really – but, you know, usually the face and those areas, martial arts is a very safe sport. It's safer than football. It's safer than soccer, believe it or not. I always used to have to tell parents that because they were always so worried about the kids getting hurt and everything like that. I can understand that. But anyway, I didn't have the type of knuckles to hit that kind of, to make that kind of contact on those bags. And I'm thinking, well, how am I going to pull this off? You first hit that bag and the bag doesn't even move. I mean, and the purpose, what your goal is when you're doing bag training is you want to try to make that bag move when you hit it. At least make it move a little, make some kind of impact on it. And it was tough. It was tough to hit a hard bag. And then, there's the hard floor. So, if you're going to kick the bag and you slip up, boy, you're going to like hit your head on a hard floor. All these different little elements when you don't have the comforts of, a carpeted training hall and, Bob. Bob is a bag for those who don't know. Everybody knows what Bob is. He's made out of rubber and it's easier to hit. He's more like flesh and he's easier to hit. But, this was pre-Bob, as far as the bag that I had to work on. And it hurt. So what I've discovered as I started going through the ranks of training and the little dojing with the harder items is that I'm just going to have to hit harder. Just going to have to hit harder. That's all there is to it. And such a simple lesson like that carried over with me in my training and into my world where sometimes, you're just going to have to hit harder. And I'm not someone who likes confrontation. I know I have a very strong personality. I'm a strong person, but I really would rather walk away than have to deal with somebody. It's just, I'd rather just not have to worry about, someone yelling at me and having to deal with that situation. But there are occasions where I can definitely hit hard if I have to. And I've discovered that in my lifetime. And under those circumstances, I always feel like it wasn't about me. It was about what I felt was going to be a greater good, in the world or something that I really had to do. I'll give you a couple of examples because in martial arts and yin yang, the balance, if someone comes against you hard, you're supposed to counterattack that by being soft. There's always a balance theory behind martial arts. But one such situation, and I think I may have talked about this before, for 3 years, I was a took over as a program director in the inner city of Denver. I mean, we're talking, it was a rough area. It was pretty much the ghetto at that time. And this particular community center had all kind of problems. I mean, gang issues, employees, not really doing, having the right mindset of what they're supposed to be doing. I could go on and on and on and on. But I all of a sudden found myself in charge of about 200 kids from the community that would come in. And that's when things changed for me, when I realized I'm responsible for these kids. And you had a situation where, 10-year-old kids would come in on a Friday night pushing a baby carriage with an infant in it. Like the 10-year-old boy's going to watch that kid. And what was happening is the parents were wanting free babysitting on Friday nights. And so they literally would drop all their kids off at the center, including infants, and just dumping them off so they could go have their good time and not have kids. That's what this center became. And it was, needless to say, it was a very dangerous situation. So I'm like, just starting to make these huge changes with how things are going to be operated from now on. No more babies, putting age limits on, who can come in without any type of parental supervision. How many vetted grown-ups are going to be in a room with how many kids at what time? When can they come in? Where can they stay? What area are they going to be able to be supervised in? Just basic stuff that, evidently, nobody had taken the time to map out. That wasn't real popular with the community people. I mean, I tell you what, man, nobody liked me. I was messing with their thing, So that was a situation where it actually got dangerous. I mean, dangerous. I was really messing with some stuff here. I had to bring the cops in and everything. And finally, everybody was like, you need to just get out of here. Why, just leave. Because everybody else left. I mean, the guy before me that had that job was gone, like in 2 weeks. Nobody wanted that job. It was dangerous. And, I could have walked away. I decided I was going to stay and I was going to hit harder. And I did. I hit really hard. I mean, I hit hard all the way up to the upper management. Now they didn't like me. It's sad, it's scary, but I had to do what I felt like I had to do because of those kids. So I'm looking at the final goal here. These kids, someone's got to make sure they're okay. That's what I did. That's when I hit harder. I could have walked away, but that time I didn't. I stood my ground. I hit harder. Changes were eventually made, the necessary changes to make that a safe community. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Okay, here's another example of when I personally decided I was going to hit harder, and this had to do with my career. I did radio for a long, long time, but there was a time when I went from radio into television into my early 20s. And same but different. I mean, I always liked doing TV. It came pretty easy for me, just like radio does, but there's something nice about radio. It's just a good feel, a good natural flow for me. I really enjoy it. Probably more than anything. Anyway, I was trying to launch my TV career, and there was an opening. It was what you would call, I'd say, a smaller market. But in my career, you have to work your way up. You don't just get to land a job in New York City. And rightly so, because, you're not going to be any good because you don't have any experience. It's like taking a white belt and putting them in a black belt tournament. They're going to get creamed out there. It's the same way in my industry. You've got to get some experience under your belt. You got to get better and better and better, and then you move up the ranks. So, at one particular time, there was a smaller market in Western Pennsylvania that I was applying for a job for an NBC affiliate, and I didn't get that job, but I knew that I should. There's something about me like, don't walk away, Karen, hit harder. It was one of those situations where I actually drove an hour and 15 minutes from my house to one way to get to this station. And I just walked in. And I said, listen, if you could just have your news director give me 5 minutes, tell him I would be so greatly appreciative. I'm in the area. I would just love for him just to take my tape in his spare times, look at it, and just give me some pointers. Of course, I didn't. That's not what I wanted. I wanted a job. But he did come down. And he shook my hand, and I gave him my tape. He goes, I got to tell you something. Most people would not do this. He's, I'm very impressed with you, first of all. And I also have to tell you that today, two people resigned their position. I have two openings. So if you want it, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. I mean, just like that. And I was there for like 3 or 4 years trying to hone my career and get really, really good. And I was ready to move up to the bigger markets at that point, the bigger cities, like Pittsburgh is a big city. When you have like 3 million people watching, they expect you to be on your game and not make mistakes, and that's why you have to work up to those positions. And so there was another opening that came up about 30 minutes from my house at a Fox affiliate in Pittsburgh. And I sent in my tape, which is typical protocol, and they sent me back a form letter, which is typical protocol, telling me that I really wasn't what they were looking for. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ignore this. I'm going to go try to get that job. I didn't quit. I'm like, I'm going to have to hit harder. So I did. I did the same thing. I walked in, and the receptionist at that time was filling in, and he literally misunderstood, but fortunately it was for my gain. He told the news director that his 2 o'clock appointment was there. I didn't have an appointment with the guy, and I hear him go, what? So, but he came down. The news director came down, introduced myself. I said, would you please just give me some pointers on my tape? He goes, I'll be right back. He needed a weather anchor right away, and that was my specialty. He looked at my tape, came back, and goes, when can you start? You got to realize this is the same office of management that sent me a form letter saying I wasn't what they were looking for. So, my point is with these examples, is to let you know that just because someone tells you no or someone tells you to stop doesn't mean that you have to. I mean, if you have to go hit harder at something, then hit harder. If the bag's harder, then hit the bag harder. If the floor's harder, then stand on the floor more correctly so you won't fall and bust your head. Do what you need to do at times. I'm not talking about specifically where you're trying to retaliate against somebody. Again, that goes against traditional martial arts philosophy. But there are times when you're going to have to hit harder. I have a situation with my own kid in middle school. He was terribly bullied. And he was already a second-degree black belt by middle school. Come on, man. Mom's not going to let him go through this world without martial arts training, right? And he knew the protocol. He had to walk away, and it got really bad. It got vulgar. It got nasty with these kids because he's walking away. He's a bigger kid. He's walking away, and so they're not saying anything, so they're just all over him. Now it's more than one kid. I finally said, look, you know what? You tell them to stop, and they don't, and if the school's not going to work with you, I will have your back on whatever you need to do to take care of the situation. I'm not telling you to do that to your kid, okay, because you got to figure that out, and I don't teach that per se. But unfortunately, bullying is an animalistic instinct in these young boys in middle school where if you don't teach them sometimes who is boss in the way that I can take care of myself if you don't stop, unfortunately, they're not going to stop. That's my personal feeling. So he took care of business one day, and he got suspended for it. But let me tell you something. Those kids never messed with him again. And that's this instructor's personal reasoning on that is someone who also teaches anti-bullying. Sometimes these bullies, they don't stop. And it becomes very detrimental to the point that these kids are so broken down. I mean, I don't have to tell you the story. Some of these kids get suicidal. They get depressed. They have to go on antidepressants. No. We're not going to do that. You're going to go take care of the business. You're going to hit harder. That's what you're going to do. You get them, let them know that from an animal instinct point of view, you are not someone who's going to be messed with, and then we're going to resolve that situation because obviously the school system isn't taking care of it the way they need to take care of it. And I know that the school, you know, system cannot be with every single kid in every single school at every single situation. I understand that. But if the situation isn't going to be taken care of in the school system, you go to your local martial arts teacher. They're going to help you take care of that. I promise they'll probably help you take care of it. This is a situation that breaks my heart with these kids, and it's in the middle school. You get to high school, most of that stuff stops. But there's just, I don't know, the hormones, the peer pressure, I don't know what it is, but it's bad with these kids. There's some mean kids out there in middle school, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes you're going to have to look at things like an animal. You're going to have to hit harder. So there you go. All right, listen. This year is almost one quarter over. Let's think about this for a minute. Do we really want to fall into the same patterns we have over and over and over and over again? Same issues, same problems, nothing's getting done. You know, I know it's like that because I counsel. And when I counsel, 9 times out of 10, if it's the same person I'm counseling, it's the same problem. I'm not just from 6 months ago, from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, even 10 years ago, even more. You know, we've got to change this up a little bit. And we have to think about how we're handling the conflict in our life that's causing these problems. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you're going to have to hit the bag harder. Sometimes you have to do that. There are certain situations where you can't just walk away. And this is something that, you know, you feel in your heart because you know it's the right thing to do. Taking care of matters will entail at times that you're going to have to go a little harder, a little further than you've ever had to do. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't shut the door. I mean, that's the biggest thing I see with people who have repetitive issues, that they walk away and they shut the door. You know what? You men are bad about that. You know, when there's an argument or whatever, what do? You walk away, you know, shut the door. I'm just done. You know what? She ran me off. I couldn't take it anymore. I quit. Just quit. Okay, get back in there. If you know you're right, I don't mean hit anybody physically. But I mean, you need to hit the situation a little harder. You need to be able to go a little more of the distance, because there are some things that are worth saving. There are some things that you do deserve to have. There are some things that were meant to be. And if you feel like it is the correct thing, you need to go about in a correct way of being a little bit more pushy and a little more adamant about what you know you need to get done. I hope that makes sense. I hope you understand. I really do feel like I get cues on what to talk about every week on these assignments. I really, as a spiritual person, I feel like the Holy Spirit tells me what to talk about at certain times. And I get that feedback back too often. Hey, you know what? I needed to hear that. I absolutely needed to hear that at this particular time. I don't think that that's a mistake. I really do think that if you're out there putting out an answer and you're praying for an answer from God above, that He will cause people to move in your path in very unique ways to get you those answers. You know, poor Mike Pence got a lot of flack from those women that have that ridiculous show I don't like about how, you know, he heard Jesus answer him in a prayer, and then they said he was crazy. Well, let me tell you something. If that bothered them, they're really not going to like me. That's all I got to say. You know, that's just, what the heck are you praying for if you don't think you're going to get an answer? My friend just said that. We were just talking about that. I'm like, man, that's so true. He goes, it's like you're looking at cars in a magazine going, oh, I'll never be able to get that car. I mean, what's the point? I mean, are you just hoping there's a whisper out there that the heavens will go, oh, I caught this one, and maybe by chance take care of something? Of course there's communication in the spirit realm. All kind of communication in the spirit realm. The Bible says open up the eyes of your heart and you'll be able to see spiritual things, because it can't be through your physical eyes. It has to be through your spiritual eyes. Those things are absolutely available to you. And sometimes answers come to you in very unconventional ways, because the spirit realm is a very unconventional place. Things do not happen the normal way when it comes to spiritual things. Backdoor ways, more often than not. But if you put it out there and you pray, don't think you're not going to get an answer. You will get an answer. And I'm sorry that people are put in the position of media where they're constantly hammering spiritual people, especially Christians, it seems like. That's too bad, but you know, I'm not too surprised. But the truth is, you should get answers to your prayers. Why are you praying if you're not going to get an answer? And yes, you can hear. Some people can hear audibly. Some people can feel it, sense it. Some people can hear it inside of their heart. Answers to things that they know are the right thing to do. That just means you're at a higher spiritual level where you can communicate into the spirit realm. And that's a goal that, you know, I encourage everybody to go for. Be able to hear the answers back. It's a biblical principle. It's not something somebody made up. Mike Pence didn't make that up. These are all basic white belt principles in the spiritual reasoning, especially in the Bible, of how you do have a communication system going on behalf of the heavens. It's there and it's available for you, and it's a shame that that loudmouth woman doesn't understand how it works. Too bad for her. Too bad for her. All right. Well, listen, I hope that this will be a little bit of a nudge to cause you to think about how maybe sometimes you need to hit harder instead of walk away and give up. And, you know, if there's something that I can do for you, or you have something, you know, an assignment you would like for me to maybe tackle, you can hit me up. I'm on Facebook. I have my group, the Eden Assignment, on Facebook. About 5,000 or 6,000 members now, and I thank you for that. But if you go there, this link that I'm doing right now, this radio broadcast, is available on there 24/7 every week. So you'll see a link every week with a blog. I try to write around it and write up about it to kind of hit off on what the show is going to be about. But you know, I'm here to help you. I help myself a lot too when I do it. You know, a good teacher will tell you, students teach you more than you're ever going to teach them. And it's so very true. But also, you know, I do have 4 books out. I write for 2 monthly magazines. I do a lot of speaking engagements. And if I can help you in some way in that aspect, feel free to reach out to me. Otherwise, let's just continue doing what we need to get done, making the changes we need to make change before we turn around and we're all going to be, you know, 90 years old in a nursing home. Because that's how fast it's going. I'm already thinking that. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, the last 10 years went by so fast, and the 10 years before that went by so fast. I mean, it just, how much more is there that I can make a difference and contribute into this world? And that really is what the focus needs to be for us, is how we can contribute, not so much how we can have all of our problems solved and all of our issues taken care of and me stuff. Now, there are things with me that have to be fixed, or you're never going to be able to be completely available to the rest of the world and the spirit realm to do something that you need to do. You can't meet your purpose if you're not completely healed in a fashion that you can go out there and make a difference. But sometimes, you know, you need to go try to make a difference in spite of yourself. And then the Bible promises, if you seek first the kingdom of God and try to do the right thing, that everything you want or need is going to be taken care of. And ladies and gentlemen, I found it to be true many times over. Many times with a heavy, broken heart, I've went out to try to do things to make a difference in this world, forgetting about my own self. And just like magic, things were taken care of. It really is a principle that is true and will stand the test of time. In the spirit realm, the ism is, think about others, have the eyes of your heart to make a difference for others, and you will absolutely be taken care of, running over, good measure, pressed down, running over. Your cup will run over, just like in Psalms 23. Fill in your cup over and over and over. I've totally experienced this many, many times, and I want you to if you have not. All right, well, I guess we just did a show. I want to thank you so much for being part of the Eden Assignment. I want to let you know that God willing, and I'll be back in the next few days to play out another assignment. Until then, I'll be thinking about you, and I'll be keeping you in my prayers. I hope you do the same thing. God bless you. Bye-bye. See you next time. And also, a special thanks to Realtor Maria Vitale of Liv Sotheby's Downtown Denver for helping to support this program. And we really appreciate any sponsorship or support that you can do as well. So if you have any real estate needs and you're in the Metro Denver area, or even if you're out about, she can actually help you, you know, via phone, via computer as well, with Liv Sotheby's. That is in Cherry Creek, Denver. And her name is Maria Vitale. And she can be reached at mariasdenverhomes.com. Maria@mariadenverhomes.com. Again, that's Maria@mariadenverhomes.com. All right, we'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.